This is My Health Matters, a public service of Search in partnership with WKYK and WTOE, reaching out to our mountain neighbors with essential health information.
My name is Gabriel Cade. I'm an emergency medicine physician who works at Blue Ridge Regional Hospital. I'm also the director of the emergency department there.
Gabe, it's good to be back with you and talk with you again today. When we talk about COVID-19, tell me a little bit about it as a disease. Is it? I know it's not the flu, obviously, but a lot of people tend to kind of compare it to the flu. What's it like?
All right, so COVID-19 is coronavirus disease 2019 is when it was discovered, and it's from the SARS-CoV-2 infection, which is severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2. And it is a viral pathogen that enters your upper respiratory tract. So You breathe it in, you touch your face, someone coughs or breathes droplets into your nose or your mouth, and this virus goes into your upper airway system. Now, that's the time when you're going to fight it off or not. It begins to invade your cells in your nose and cells in the back of your throat, maybe a little stuffy nose, maybe a little sore throat. If you don't fight it off in that first week or so, which is basically that asymptomatic time, then it goes down into your lower respiratory system, down into your lungs, to the end of your lungs. There's little balloons in your lungs called alveoli. And when the virus hits those balloons, your immune system tries to fight it off. And so you mobilize white blood cells and these chemokines and all these immune receptors that attack this small balloon. And in doing so, they may have some success, but you build up this flotsam and jetsam, this detritus of dead cells and infection that clog up those balloons. And that's what causes pneumonia in general, are dead cells and infectious cells that are clogging up those balloons at the ends of your lungs. And that is the main cause of death with coronavirus, is a respiratory failure. The people that we saw at the most critically ill end of this were people whose lungs were destroyed by the virus. Detritus had filled all of the lung space, and there was no room for oxygen to move back and forth from the body. And respiratory support and intubation and ventilators and all the other tricks we have were the only tricks that were left.
Once you get to that point, and if you make it through it, I mean, you hate to say it like that, but if you make it through it, does it stay with you forever?
We don't know.
We're still trying to. Forever hasn't been yet,
so we don't know. We don't even know if having it is protective. We don't know if subsequent tests that show you are negative mean that you're over it, or even the antibody testing. The truth is, we still just don't know what any of this stuff means. If it means that you won't get it next year, or can you go back to work? You've already had it. We don't know.
And that is one of the things that's kind of hard about it, I would think, is the fact that because it is new and we're trying to figure it out, there's still a lot of questions. There really are.
It's why we're being so cautious. We talked a little bit before about how we want all the answers from the CDC and the National Institutes of Health and the World Health Organization. And the truth is that they don't know either. And so we have to learn as we go and adapt and hope for the best and plan for the worst. And again, one of the very easy steps that we can take as a community to protect each other is wear these masks that these amazing people in our community are making and just passing out, you know, that I have right here with me today, and washing our hands and being thoughtful of others. We really have no other tools. The patients that I see who are sick from this, I can't fix them. I can't save them. I can give them supportive care, and I hope that their body will fight it off. And so far, all the patients I've seen have, but there's so much that is unknown. There's nothing to do but continue good preventative measures.
Have you had to deal with a lot?
I have, yep.
There have been a pretty good number.
Yep.
You know, of course, we hear about the numbers of positives, but we don't want to know. We don't need to know anything more than that. But I was curious, like, how many the emergency department at Blue Ridge, so there's been a good number.
In the emergency department at Blue Ridge, we see patients that have had a confirmed diagnosis somewhere else and maybe are getting sicker coming in, or with us, and who have gotten sicker. We see lots of people who want to be tested, of course. In the beginning of this, there weren't enough tests, and so we were very stringent about who met criteria for testing. And I suspect we missed an opportunity in the beginning to make some of these diagnoses. But now we see more and more true positive patients, including some who are asymptomatic. I took care of a gentleman who came in for a fall. Man, we tested him and he turned out to be positive and he was essentially symptom free. And I was so thankful that we're just in a routine of protecting ourselves at work and masking the patients when they come in, no matter what.
And talking about masking, and I know this is going to sound gross to a lot of folks, but As all this has been going on, you think you become more aware. I have a series of papers that I read off of when I'm on the radio. And for whatever reason, my own goofiness, I keep them in plastic sheets so they'll be neat. And, you know, a fellow that talks a lot, spits a lot. And those things you see, you realize that's what they're talking about, that the mask will stop.
Yes, that's exactly right. And it's especially the droplets that are closer to your mouth. The further those droplets get from your mouth, the smaller they get and the easier to penetrate these masks. I mean, the truth is cloth masks are not perfect.
No.
And they're certainly not perfect for protecting you, but they are very, very good for protecting other people.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, those big droplets, as soon as they leave your mouth, are caught there. And I think even if there weren't good science, it's just good common sense.
Yeah. So social distancing is a good idea. Washing your hands really is a good idea. Why is washing your hands important?
It kills the virus, which is amazing. Again, here's this incredibly potent virus with a scary infectious rate, 2 million confirmed cases in the United States, 110,000 deaths related to it. But if everyone washed their hands and didn't touch their face, this would be over.
It's so funny.
There's a great cartoon strip on the internet. I wish I could recreate it verbally. But soap just undermines the coronavirus specifically. And if you wash your hands for 20 seconds, which is two happy birthdays or some, maybe Moana twice, then you've done it. And we just don't. We touch our face. I didn't notice until this all started. And they said, don't touch your face. How many times I touch my face.
And I know.
And even at the ER, I wash my hands religious hundreds of times a day, probably. But at home, I don't as much. When I'm out, I don't as much. But if you did, it would stop.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. Soap and water.
So some guy on the radio has said a whole lot lately, go wash your hands.
Yeah.
It's good to be outside, though. Let's get outside and get some sunshine and get some fresh air. Isn't that good?
Really, really good. And we're so lucky we live here in these changing seasons, and there's so much to do outside from a safe distance from other people that I think we're so lucky we can really enjoy our environment with a low infectious risk. I'm not sure I'd get in a boat with a bunch of people, but I'd go down the creek and go on a hike and things where you can keep a distance and still be together. And we need that. This is a really stressful time. And for people that already have stress, now they have this additional world worry, and they have even less support than ever before. And so I think it's really important to find ways to keep interacting, even if it's Zoom or FaceTime or these ways we have of video chatting with each other or getting outside. It's more important than ever to do the other things to take care of our health.
And that's something we need to do, and it's our own responsibility. It's up to us to take care of ourselves, and then that way it'll turn around and take care of our family and everybody else.
Absolutely right. Yeah, that's sort of pouring from a half-empty cup kind of thing. We need to keep monitoring our own selves to be good caregivers, even if we're not healthcare workers.
We'll pause our conversation with Gabriel Cade of the Blue Ridge Regional Hospital Emergency Department here and continue tomorrow. Thank you to Gabriel Cade for being willing to chat with us. And remember, you can hear all of the programs. Once they're all on the radio, we'll have them online at our website. Just go to Community Close-Up. You'll see them there. Again, thank you to Gabriel Cade for talking with us, and thank you for listening.
My Health Matters is a public service of Search in partnership with WKYK and WTOE. For more information, please visit our website, searchwnc.org.